Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to our Wednesday evening service together. It is an auspicious day in the United States, and I'd like to start our time with a prayer. O precious Lord, O beloved, O source of holiness, O connection of our life, we open and surrender our heart and mind so that our time together will be filled with grace, filled with the magnification of the spirit of love and respect, power and blessing. We know the power of being a conscious human being, where that which is coming down from the source, that which is coming down from you, moving through our consciousness, brings a hearty, wholesome blessing into the world. We are designed for this. We have come for this. We enjoy this. We give thanks for the blessings upon our own heads, upon our friends, and upon this country. We give thanks for knowing that what we choose matters. We give thanks for this community online, some near, some far, some in the evening, some in the morning. But we are together now in this moment, present, filled with appreciation and praise and love for thee. Amen. I am aware that this is a dramatic change in our country today. For many people, the difference between what has gone before and what has starting today has all kinds of opinions attached to it, all kinds of judgments, and in some way, all kinds of expectations. And I wanted to invoke for us the experience of Ho'oponopono as we go into this evening, but as we go into this next cycle of this country and our time together. In a nutshell, the Ho'oponopono process is a short prayer that allows us to forgive others to whom we are connected without naming it, without making it about specifics. It allows you to cut the connection to what has been and allows you to be centered in the new. So I'm going to tell you the words, most of you know them, and I'd like to say this together four times, just realizing we are releasing, we are blessing, and we are welcoming. I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. If you'd like to unmute and say it together with me, we can. I love you.
I love you.
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
Please forgive me. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I love you.
I love you.
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
Please forgive me.
Thank you.
Thank you.
This is a vibrational opportunity for change. It's not about expectation. It's not about judgment. It's about being centered and having it be our process of release and blessing. So thank you for initiating this time with me, and I hand this over to Uma.
Thank you, Jane. So Jane and I wanted to share an experience of the opportunity for us to practice attunement, given the state of what's happening in our country, what we're doing right now as far as the changing over to new leadership, a new administration. And for those of us in the Sunrise Ranch community, we just today completed four sessions on deepening attunement, and we did a lot of work on four of the spirits and the attunement spirits. And what we'd like to do as we share some things with you about today, about the inauguration and some quotes from speeches, a poem, etc., would like for you to hold all of that in attunement, hold our country in attunement, whatever way feels right for you. So the first thing that we'd like to share is a video. A young woman named Amanda Gorman, who is 22 years old, and she's the nation's first ever youth poet laureate. She wrote a poem for the inauguration and read it today. And Jim's going to put that video on to show us.
Mr. President, Dr. Biden, Madam Vice President, Mr. Emhoff, Americans and the world. When day comes, we ask ourselves, where can we find light in this never-ending shade? The loss we carry, a sea we must wade. We've braved the belly of the beast. We've learned that quiet isn't always peace. In the norms and notions of what just is, isn't always just is. And yet the dawn is ours before we knew it. Somehow we do it. Somehow we've weathered and witnessed a nation that isn't broken, but simply unfinished. We, the successors of a country and a time where a skinny black girl descended from slaves and raised by a single mother can dream of becoming president, only to find herself reciting for one. And yes, we are far from polished, far from pristine, but that doesn't mean we are striving to form a union that is perfect. We are striving to forge our union with purpose, to compose a country committed to all cultures, colors, characters, and conditions of man. And so we lift our gazes not to what stands between us, but what stands before us. We close the divide because we know to put our future first. We must first put our differences aside. We lay down our arms so we can reach out our arms to one another. We seek harm to none and harmony for all. Let the globe, if nothing else, say this is true. That even as we grieved, we grew. That even as we hurt, we hoped. That even as we tired, we tried. That we'll forever be tied together, victorious. Not because we will never again know defeat, but because we will never again sow division. Scripture tells us to envision that everyone shall sit under their own vine and fig tree, and no one shall make them afraid. If we're to live up to our own time, then victory won't lie in the blade, but in all the bridges we've made. That is the promised glade, the hill we climb, if only we dare it. Because being American is more than a pride we inherit. It's the past we step into and how we repair it. We've seen a force that would shatter our nation rather than share it. Would destroy our country if it meant delaying democracy. And this effort very nearly succeeded. But while democracy can be periodically delayed, it can never be permanently defeated. In this truth, in this faith we trust, for while we have our eyes on the future, history has its eyes on us. This is the era of just redemption. We feared it at its inception. We did not feel prepared to be the heirs of such a terrifying hour, but within it we found the power to author a new chapter, to offer hope and laughter to ourselves. So while once we asked, how could we possibly prevail over catastrophe? Now we assert, how could catastrophe possibly prevail over us? We will not march back to what was, but move to what shall be, a country that is bruised, but whole, benevolent, but bold, fierce, and free. We will not be turned around or interrupted by intimidation, because we know our inaction and inertia will be the inheritance of the next generation. Our blunders become their burdens. But one thing is certain. If we merge mercy with might and might with right, then love becomes our legacy and change our children's birthright. So let us leave behind a country better than the one we were left. With every breath from my bronze pounded chest, we will raise this wounded world into a wondrous one. We will rise from the gold-limbed hills of the West. We will rise from the wind-swept Northeast where our forefathers first realized revolution. We will rise from the lake-rimmed cities of the Midwestern states. We will rise from the sun-baked South. We will rebuild, reconcile, and recover in every known nook of our nation, in every corner called our country. Our people, diverse and beautiful, will emerge battered and beautiful. When day comes, we step out of the shade, aflame and unafraid. The new dawn blooms as we free it. For there is always light if only we're brave enough to see it, if only we're brave enough to be it.
How precious is that? She shared that she was wearing a ring of a caged bird in honor of Maya D'Angelo, and she received that ring as a gift from Oprah Winfrey. I imagine we'll be hearing more of this incredible young woman in the future. Hope so. So I'd like to share a couple of quotes from President Biden's inaugural speech. And then we're going to consider that in small groups. And then Jane's going to share a couple of quotes from his speech, and we'll consider those in small groups. So I'll begin with this one. The American story depends not on any one of us, not on some of us, but on all of us, on we the people who seek a more perfect union. This is a great nation, and we are a good people. Over the centuries, through storm and strife, in peace and in war, we have come so far, but we still have far to go. We will press forward with speed and urgency, for we have much to do in this winter of peril and possibility, much to repair, much to restore, much to heal, much to build, and much to gain. Few periods in our nation's history have been more challenging or difficult than the one we're in now. A once-in-a-century virus silently stalks the country. It's taken as many lives in 1 year as America lost in all of World War II. Millions of jobs have been lost, hundreds of thousands of businesses closed, a cry for racial justice some 400 years in the making moves us. The dream of justice for all will be deferred no longer. A cry for survival comes from the planet itself, a cry that can't be any more desperate or any more clear. And now, a rise in political extremism, white supremacy, domestic terrorism that we must confront and we will defeat. To overcome these challenges, to restore the soul and to secure the future of America requires more than words. It requires that most elusive of things in a democracy, unity. And one more quote from the speech. And together we shall write an American story of hope, not fear, of unity, not division, of light, not darkness. An American story of decency and dignity, of love and of healing, of greatness and of goodness. May this be the story that guides us, the story that inspires us, the story that tells ages yet to come that we answered the call of history, we met the moment, that democracy and hope, truth and justice did not die on our watch, but thrived. That our America secured liberty at home and stood once again as a beacon to the world. That is what we owe our forebears, one another, and generations to follow. So Jim's going to put us into small groups of four. And we're going to consider this question. What is the spiritual medicine this country needs as we work towards the fulfillment of our vision for America? So we'll have 12 minutes total in the group. So 3 minutes each if you have four people, or just adjust accordingly if you have other than four. I don't know about the rest of you, but our small group had it all figured out, solved the problems of the world right here tonight. So thank you for that. I'd like to turn this time over to Jane.
Thank you so much. I really appreciated the pieces that you chose, Uma. I chose a couple of different ones, and I'd like to read these from President Biden's speech today. He said this: "I know speaking of unity can sound to some like a foolish fantasy. I know the forces that divide us are deep, and they are real, but I also know they are not new. Our history has been a constant struggle between the American ideal that we are all created equal and the harsh, ugly reality that racism, fear, and demonization have long torn us apart. Nativism. The battle is perennial. Victory is never assured. Through the Civil War, the Great Depression, World Wars, 9/11, through struggle, sacrifice, and setbacks, our, quote, better angels have always prevailed. In each of these moments, enough of us came together to carry all of us forward. And we can do so now. History, faith, and reason show the way of unity. We can see each other not as adversaries, but as neighbors. We can treat each other with dignity and respect. We can join forces, stop the shouting, and lower the temperature. For without unity, there is no peace, only bitterness and fury, no progress, only exhausting outrage, no nation, only a state of chaos." And this other short quote from his piece today. He said, "And so today, at this time and in this place, let us start afresh. All of us, let us listen to one another, hear one another, see one another, show respect to one another. Politics need not be a raging fire destroying everything in its path. Every disagreement doesn't have to be a cause for total war. And we must reject a culture in which facts themselves are manipulated and even manufactured. My fellow Americans, we have to be different than this. America has to be better than this. And I believe America is better than this." So I really appreciate his vision. And I created a question. Do you have it in front of you, Emma?
Yes. The question is, in challenging times, how do you stay connected and hold on to a higher vision of possibility?
Thank you. So we're going to do the same thing, go into groups of four for 12 minutes, and we will come back after that. So Jim, if you could do your magic. Well, thank you all for sharing your brilliance in your small groups. I'm sure I'm sure some of the effect of doing that is expansion of our own thinking of possibility and the power of being in agreement. So I would love to open this space for comments into the whole chat. whole group, not into the chat. So just be conscious to unmute yourself and be respectful of all the people who are online. So the space is open. I would say you're welcome to answer either question, spiritual medicine or what do you do to stay centered in the midst?
Well, I think we need to not lose our goal here. We are here for what? We are here to offer our world the best that we have. And we are here to offer life to people that are around us. So that if that is our mission or our commission, then we're on the right path, and there's we're doing the best that we can to have things come out, you could say, to the top of the mountain. So thank you.
One of the thoughts that came out in our group was the matter of feeling and thought, and the fact that very often it is a sensing, a feeling first that one has, and then the thoughts follow. But we were given both these capacities, and rightly using them is not a matter of clinging, trying to hold on, but of using the capacities we have to offer in just what we can in the moment.
Well, as far as spiritual medicine is concerned, I just feel that a new tone is needed. In this past administration, the past 4 years, I just felt that an uplifting tone was, for the most part, absent. What I particularly missed were qualities of true character coming from the highest point of the administration, qualities of integrity, of real dignity, of nobility, of character, of generosity. I feel those qualities were to a high degree absent. And so what I look for in the new administration is just a new tone, a new quality of character, something uplifting, some spiritual medicine that will really restore this country to its right path.
It was my sense that Joe Biden is the perfect person in time to take on this role. He's deeply spiritual, he's deeply religious, and I was shocked to learn that he was only the second Catholic that's ever been elected to the presidency. But he's the right person in this right moment. And what a contrast between him and the previous person. I also mentioned in the group that I was so grateful that Trump wasn't there, because that would have put a damper on everything. I just felt he was the right person, and he just brought so much empathy and character and faith. I'm just so grateful. Thank you.
Thank you, Tom. We have a Tom working. In terms of being the right person at the right time, a journalist called him the comforter in chief. The comforter in chief. And if you've had so much loss due to COVID, and so much loss of respect and trust and truth due to leadership failure, and so much loss in other ways, it's perfect to have a comforter in chief. And that is a medicine. I've seen this as an exorcism. I've never experienced one in person, but I've read a whole lot about them. And there's a particular kind of level of care that's needed after the demon is exorcised, or whatever you wish to call the evil spirit, a particular kind of care, because there's been trauma in the body that's been inhabited, and it's been taught to think in a different way and to feel in a different way, and it has to return to its senses. And we've had a first step in that today, but it seems to me there's a particular kind of psychological, not only physical, and especially spiritual medicine, that provides for that to come back into the holy place. And it's already started. Thank you.
I felt something a little bit along those lines, Tom, where in one way, I almost felt like the country was, the people were listening. It sort of everything stopped in one way. And there was just this silence in a certain kind of way, and an opportunity to look in a different way. And I just feel our part in that of providing a vibrational, consciously vibrational surround in this new cycle is a very important piece in what is to happen in an ongoing way down the road once the sort of the euphoria of the actual inauguration has slipped more into the past. But to keep this cycle new and alive, because there's been some listening, willingness perhaps to do some changing. Thank you.
I believe that I never have to give up the spirit of blessing for no matter whatever the situation is and whatever is going on with others. Certainly I would have more compassion in certain situations, but I can also pray for the thoughts of truth that are moving through my consciousness so that I might extend a blessing or even an invitation to come home to this space that we live in together. I might say something in my consciousness that there is a collective body of the true spirit of home and healing, and you can come to that, and you're welcome to that. It depends on the situation, but I never have to give up the power of blessing and all the other things that go with that.
Well, thank you all for your contributions to this evening. And again, I rename that this Ho'oponopono prayer and this acknowledgement of we get to hold a vision for where we're going together and also hold each other as we hold the vision. And I saw another clip today where President Biden was speaking to a giant Zoom call, a lot bigger than we're talking to here, because he had many screens, and he was telling them all how he would not put up with rudeness or disrespect amongst them talking to each other, and that they would lose their job if that was the way they treated each other. And I thought, what a call to stature, that it is not okay to treat each other rudely or disrespectfully, and you will just lose your job. There's something like, let us be in that place of, it's not okay to let our stature down so that, because we know our job. And so I'll hand this back over to Uma.
Thank you, Jane. We'd like to end our time with an attunement card, number 28, which is on the spirit of purification in relationship to the world.
The spirit of purification, the world, card 28. O source of all life, I come before you to share my hurting heart and the aches of my soul. Please help me understand. Almost everywhere I look, I see so much that seems so wrong with our world. I drive a multi-lane highway through the city and see gray, tired people and decaying buildings. I hear all the personal attack in our political dialogue, and I watch as the beauty of this earth is claimed and then ravaged by greedy people. Then I look at all the great problems the human race is facing. Terrorism, war, decimation of species, and more. And it seems that all our solutions could be too little, too late. How did we get like this? And where do we go from here? I pray for us to regain our kindness, our care for others, and for this planet. I pray that as we embrace these elemental expressions of love and compassion, we will reclaim our dignity and honor as human beings and be cleansed of our smallness. So I come to you now, asking for your light that I might see. Help me know what it would mean to be wise and kind. I ask for the radiance of your love so I might fully regain dignity and honor for myself and for the world around me. And in my asking, I realize that these things are already given, only needing to be received. I welcome your spirit of purification that I might have room to let them in. I release any fear or despair and fill myself with the wisdom and power that is born from you. I am prepared and I am ready to face the issues of this world. Meditation. Cross your hands over your thymus gland at the top of your breastbone. Close your eyes. Consider a world trend. In the face of it, receive the radiance of love into your heart from above and within. Let it in. Feel the dignity and honor it instills in you. Now release any fear or despair you might feel about this world trend, and let your creative spirit be proudly present. Notice what you perceive in the interchange and how it changes. Continue until you sense the process is complete. affirm, I am prepared and I am ready to face the issues of this world. I am prepared and I am ready to face the issues of this world.
Thank you all so much for joining us. It's been precious to be together in this time.
Thank you and good night.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good night,
family.
Good night. Good night,
y'all. Good night, Patrick.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Take care.